Welcome to the Gentleman Geek Podcast with your hosts Peter and Andy. Follow us on Twitter at gentleman_geek. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Welcome into the Gentleman Geek Podcast. I am your host, Peter. With me as always, Andy Hara. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing pretty good, man. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Episode 25, right?
Yeah.
Guys, we made it a year. We have made it a year. Technically, episode 26, since we are a bi-weekly podcast, will be officially a year, I guess. But time-wise, we have made it a year. It has been a fun ride.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed myself so far. We've had three cons under our belt now, right? Two Retro Worlds
and one CT Gamer Con.
There we go.
Which we most likely will not attend again.
It's going to be the one that shall not be named anymore.
Yeah.
It was good for what it was.
Yeah.
We're going to get into some more Retro World talk today from our experience from this last one.
Stella t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. You can check us out on YouTube. Just search Gentleman Geek Podcast, and you'll be able to see the amazing t-shirt and swag. We have a few finds that we want to go over, and a couple other topics that maybe we won't be experts on, but we kind of just found some articles that we thought were kind of interesting to talk about, so let's get into it.
Sounds good.
Geekly Rewind.
All right. So, first up on the Geekly Rewind, we are going to talk about our experience at Retro World Expo 2019. So, let's start off with our journey there. So, we took off, what, Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, it was Saturday afternoon. We headed down right around 2 o'clock.
We made it there by 3.
Yep.
Luckily, we made it there for our buddy's cosplay contest.
Yep.
Just in time for that.
Which was cool.
It was really cool.
I was surprised. There was a lot more people this year for the cosplay contest.
Yes. I wanted to mention that because the year prior.
Oh, it was scarce.
There was maybe 10.
There was like maybe 15. I'd say 15.
Five kids and like 10 adults. Yep. Probably. That was probably the average. And it was a lot more like people wearing like. Was that Pikachu like sleeper? It was more like not onesies. Really made. Yeah, the onesies. Yeah. They didn't seem to have made their costumes. They just kind of purchased things and wore them.
There were definitely more handmade costumes this year.
Very much. Weird thing though is that I didn't notice a lot of cosplayers walking the floor, but there were a lot in the contest. And maybe that's because we weren't there before the contest, really. But
yeah,
I mean, remember there being a lot more cosplayers walking around last year.
But we
year.
Also got there later, earlier. Yeah.
True. We were there before.
We were there first thing when the doors opened.
We were only there one day.
Yeah.
So
we got there as early as possible. I mean, it was good. You know, I was glad that we were able to get there in time because they pushed the cosplay back 45 minutes.
Which makes me, I wonder if they did it because of just the amount of people that entered, or
I think that they were just running behind schedule in general.
That's true.
Not gonna lie, I wasn't heartbroken by it because it gave us an opportunity to go to the food court and get those amazing pretzels.
The pretzels, guys. Oh, they were so good. The salt, the buttery doughiness. Oh, it was so good.
They were really good.
I do regret not getting a beer. I actually got a water because I was a little dehydrated, but
I got a beer.
I should have gotten the beer with it, but mistakes were made, guys.
It was amazing.
It was really good. So, all right. So we get there. We get our pretzels. We get to see the cosplay. And then immediately, like after that,
we hit the floor.
We just hit the floor running, guys. We zipped around. I actually didn't take any footage the first day because I just wanted to see what was there. I felt like we missed.
I regret not taking pictures.
Yeah, me too. I took a few. I'll say this right now because the second day I didn't get much footage either because I got a new iPhone 11. Okay. And
I'm smiling for a reason.
Yeah. It's just a software thing. It wasn't with the hardware, but they did the update. And I think this was just not even on iPhone 11. So it's on all iPhones. It was a software update 13.01 or something like that. They had a camera glitch, which after about 3 minutes, it happened during the cosplay with Mike. It happened when I was just walking, trying to do what I did last year for the intro to show the show floor. There's a camera glitch and it kept freezing my camera and I didn't lose any footage, but it's jumpy. It's stuttery.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, guys, I'm going to try to upload some of it, I think, to YouTube, but I apologize. It's out of my hands. There's nothing I could have done about that. So, but yeah, so I was super excited just to get there. I didn't play as much arcade games as I'd like to, but I was more on the hunt for things.
Neither did I. I had a list of games that I was looking for, and I was really focused on that.
Yep.
I regret not playing more arcade games.
Yeah, me too.
Now, but I came back with 3/4 of my list, and I'm pretty happy.
That's really good. We'll get into that on day two. But that same day, we met up back up with our friends.
Yep.
We had a great time at, was it Arch? I forgot the name of the restaurant.
Oh, the
I think it's Arch Pub or something like that.
Yeah, Archway Pub.
Yeah. It was really good. Queso was amazing. Yep. I really enjoyed that.
It was good.
I didn't get anything else to eat the entire night. I didn't eat that much. I got a pretzel, some chips, and I think day two, I think I had the big breakfast, and that was it. But
I wound up getting the Reuben sandwich, which it gave me heartburn really bad. It was good.
Yeah.
It was really good. And, yeah. I honestly thought that the waitress was going to stop serving us because, you know, kept giving her a hard time. But
yeah, it was all in good fun. Yeah, she seemed to play it off really well.
She was playing it off really well.
Yeah. So is that how that night ended?
No.
No, we went back to the hotel.
Well, we went to the after party, stayed there for a bit, and then wound up back at the hotel and drank a little bit more.
And played some video games. N64, tried to get our buddy Mike some practice for the
No Mercy tournament.
Yeah.
And we played a little bit of GoldenEye.
Yeah. Oh,
which
guys.
I look back on now thinking, how did I ever play this game?
How did we ever think that was like a good quality? I mean, it's the time and place, right? Every game is good.
It was the first person shooter I ever played.
Counter-Strike, I think, was mine on the PC.
Yeah. See, I never played PC games.
Yeah. So. But yeah, we did knives only. We did pistols only.
Mm-hmm.
And God, that took, I think I'm pretty sure I won.
The game lasted forever.
Yeah, I don't think we actually finished it. I think we just shut it off.
We shut it off because we just couldn't.
But I'm pretty sure I annihilated everybody. Just, just want to say that.
So. Whatevs.
So after that, we played Mario Kart a little bit.
Yep.
And I think we all just kind of passed out. One by one.
Yeah.
There's some funny personal stories that we're not going to bring
up. Yeah, we won't bring up.
We won't bring up those. That's an inside joke. All right.
But it was a good night.
It was a great night. It was a great day, great night. Absolutely everyone was cool and chill. And the next day was even better. We all woke up, got a sweet breakfast.
Yep. Woke up, went to breakfast, hit the floor again.
Yep.
And really did some hardcore buying.
Yeah. So why don't you talk about some of your pickups?
Well, my number one pickup this year was my copy of Earthbound for SNES.
Boom.
I know. I was pretty stoked about that.
Yep. There was, what, four or five copies on the floor?
Four or five copies, and 4 out of 5 of them were really overpriced.
Yeah, 200 plus. You ended up coming in?
At 170.
Yeah. So that's decent. You got basically an eBay priced item at a convention, which I think that's a win. You know, you got the immediate satisfaction, get it in your hand right away. It wasn't any more expensive than what you could have gotten on eBay.
Well, you were right. I probably could have talked them down another $10.
Yeah, but it's whatever you feel comfortable offering, right? I know I kept harping on you guys because you guys kept harping on me because I kept offering lowball offers everywhere. But we're going to get into a story about that with this nice disc in front of me right now with Tomba.
I know.
But here's the thing. They're there to sell their products.
Yep.
And if they don't want to sell it to you for the price you're offering, then no big deal. No hurt feelings. It might be maybe you feel embarrassed by lowballing, but.
A little bit. I mean, personal experience for me is working at my old job.
Yes.
I would get really beat up like that a lot.
Sure. I worked at major retail outlets and they still did it. Like, oh, there's no price tag on this, so can I make an offer on it? No. We're a retail store. Like it's not how that not in a yard sale
here. I dealt with that a lot at my old job, and I really I don't mind haggling for myself, but I generally don't like to haggle a lot because my my old job, I haggled a lot. Customers, you would not believe. Well, I mean, I'm sure you know. But I find it's almost borderline. I don't want to insult somebody, you know?
But you got to remember, they didn't make this product, right? It's not handmade stuff. I wouldn't low bid an offer on someone's craft or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
They're selling used video games in a congested market. There are multiple vendors there, most likely selling the same thing. Even a rare game like Earthbound, there's 5 copies there. Play against one another.
Honestly, surprised there were so many copies.
I'm just going to say this. Like, I believe the market is coming to a halt. I think all these vendors had hoarded all these games.
Because a lot of stores that I go to, they all say, I maybe get one copy a year.
And that's the thing. People are targeting them now. So they're either buying on eBay and bringing them to these conventions and upping the price. They're probably not getting that big of a profit margin off of it anymore.
No, probably not.
Probably not. They're buying high and trying to sell slightly higher, which is weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I believe, and this is not new. I mean, I've heard this, I'm going to say it, Pat Contry has mentioned this before, where the hardcore collectors have collected their collections. The casual collectors who just want to get games from their childhood, mostly coming to the end of their collection period.
Yeah.
And at some point, the market's going to dry up for these. People go into game stores, and when I worked in game stores, they don't understand. They would never understand if I sold a copy of Tomba for the PS1 for $120 or $100. They'd be like, I just want to play the game. They don't care that it's collectible. They just don't.
Yeah.
They just want to play the game that they played when they were a kid. So that's what I'm trying to get at is I think the collectible market at some point will become stale. And all those hardcore people will have the cartridge that they want.
I think it'll probably come soon, but I don't think it's going to crash as hard as...
Oh, I don't... Yeah, it's not going to nosedive all of a sudden, but you'll see a decrease.
Yeah.
It goes in cycles, right? It'll crash. Coaster. Exactly. And it won't crash. Sorry. It'll dip and it'll come back up. Dip and come back up. But at some point, the children of today, their classic console is going to be not the SNES, not the NES. Maybe not even the N64. Like, it's going to be way above that.
I think the classic consoles to be considered today for today's gamers would be PlayStation 3, Wii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Wii, yes, I agree with that. Yep. Yeah. Because it's usually I didn't grow up with a regular NES. I grew up with the SNES. But there are people my age
who had an NES as a kid. You did. Yes.
Yes, I did. I did. You're right. No.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I did. Okay, I did. You're right, because I remember my 5th birthday, I think I got one.
You did have one, because I remember playing it at your house.
Yeah, okay.
We used to play Gumshoe.
Gumshoe. Oh, man. Was you sure that wasn't on Sue's house?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I believe you. My memory is horrible. So... But you get my point, is that there are cycles or ebbs and flows, and at some point, are you collecting Atari games?
I have Atari games.
Okay, but are you actively collecting them?
Actively? No.
Right. Not too many people are our age, because that was a system before our time. It's not our system.
I've always had Atari games, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But you always had NES games or Super NES games, but you collect those games now.
Well, yes.
Because your SNES collection is a little bit different because...
I'm rebuilding my SNES collection from a mishap of making the mistake of lending it and never getting it back, which has been very expensive for me.
Sure. It would have been a gold mine if you had them back then, just to be like, wow, I'm sitting on all this stuff. Like, holy... You never sell them, but wow.
But having to buy... Super Metroid and A Link to the Past.
Yeah.
And, those three games alone, I spent, that's $100 right there for those three games.
And the other one you just bought at the con too, the cowboy one.
Sunset Riders.
You just bought that one. That was a good deal too.
I never had that as a kid.
Oh, okay, okay.
But, I'm picking up games that I haven't had, but. I mean, I know what I had because I still have all the manuals.
Right. Yeah, and so kind of curving this back towards that, I did play the, what was it again, the Cowboy one?
Sunset Riders.
Thank you, sorry. I played that on the game floor. They actually had that in the console on the game floor. It was fun. It was,
it's a good game.
I'm not sure if it was one of the first games to have, like, was Contra before that one?
Angled shooting?
Yeah. Was that one of the first ones to have angled shooting?
Because Contra did.
Contra did. Was it Contra come before that? Maybe. Yeah. I'm not going to hold you to it, but yeah, maybe it did.
Well, Contra was on the NES.
Oh, well, there you go. So,
there you go.
So yeah, so like the angled shooting and the dual wielding, you had double weapons where you could, and you could angle them separately.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. It was really fun to play.
And each character has their own little thing that they do too. They have their own weapon set. And
me and Ian actually played that one together. So that was a lot of fun. That was really fun time.
It's a really good game.
Yeah. So you got some of your game purchases. I was unable to find mine.
I was really disappointed that you didn't find what you were looking for.
I was looking for this guy right here, which is Tomba, for the PS1. I went around to every vendor and asked them if they had it. One guy only had a Japanese version of Tomba 2, which was no help.
No.
Everyone, I went to a couple more. They said, oh, you know what? I had it, but I sold it at my store. I didn't actually have it here. And everyone knew what the game was.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a little bit of a story behind this game. I'm not going to get into too much details, but the producer or maker, designer, rather, of like Mega Man series, there's a few other really named ones. He went off and made his own studio called Whoopee Camp. And he only made two games, Tomba 1, Tomba 2, and went out of business. It wasn't really an acclaimed game back then, but now it has a cult following.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, typically when you run into games like this that had limited runs, didn't do well, always tend to be highly sought after years after.
Right. I never knew that. I only had the demo disc when I was a kid. I think it came in the PlayStation Magazine. I played it over and over and over again. I hadn't actually played the full disc until our buddy Mike let me borrow his copy. And it's just a fun platformer, RPG, action, adventure game. And I love it. I can't wait to pop this in and play it. Hopefully it works.
I'm sure it will.
But the story about me lowballing people, circling back to that conversation.
Yeah.
Found this on eBay, $80. I offered $50 for it. It was declined. So the auto declined it. I'm like, okay, fine. I can live without it. So complete inbox, I guess, with the manual and the disc and the actual case. Not more than 5 hours later, the guy resent me an offer saying, hey, limited time offer deal, $49.99. I took it.
And I've had that happen too.
Yeah.
You know, with some stuff that I've shown interest in.
Yep.
Like I've watched items and then unwatched them.
Yep. And then
I get private message later, nice. Like saying, hey, how about
15% off or 10% off? Yeah. So that's the thing I always think about is you never know how motivated a person is to sell something.
Yeah.
So you should always offer what you feel comfortable paying. And if they don't want it, they don't want it. If they do, they'll come back and say, you'll take it. And even on eBay, it works. It's point in case.
Yeah.
So
it does. It does to some extent, but that method doesn't really work out for you on Facebook Marketplace.
No, people get cold feet and
cold feet, they don't even reply.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Facebook Marketplace is just a weird, there's nothing holding any accountability. I've stopped using it now.
Yep.
Because people put stuff up, they'll forget about it, or they'll sell it to somebody else, and they just won't respond to you until you go away, and I'm done with it. It's not a good system.
I mean, I know other people that have had good luck with it. I think it's more...
I've had a few good lucks with it.
Yeah.
And I've gotten
the GameCube games that I messaged the guy about.
The Metroid Prime and Metroid Echoes.
Yeah.
And my Zelda, Link to the Past, SNES, right? Yeah. I think that's the other one I got. So there are times I do it and it works out, but there are other times where people just don't respond. I just don't like using it. It's a dead platform to me now.
I find it to be a good time waste while you're trying to, you know, like if you're on the hopper or something, you know.
It's a good to scroll through, but then you message and never hear back, so it's like false hopes.
Well, but it gives you ideas of things that you might want to try to pick up.
That's
you
true.
Know
that's true
that's more what I'm getting at with it.
So that was my golden gem. Unfortunately, I didn't get it at the con. I wish I did. It's just the excitement of the hunt, you know, and getting it.
Yeah.
There was one vendor who said that I'm not sure if he was lying to me, but he's a guy right at the front.
There was somebody floating around with a copy.
There was somebody floating around. I felt like holding up a sign saying, "Do you have Tomba? Please talk to me."
Yeah. But I don't know how believable that is, to be honest.
Just so happens that this one game, someone was trying to sell it to him at the con, but he didn't want to take it. He didn't give me the reason why he didn't take it, but he didn't take it.
Well, I don't understand. If they know it's kind of a rare...
Why wouldn't they pick it up?
Exactly. Maybe the guy wanted way too much money for it.
That would be one reason. Yep. Maybe it wasn't... The guy who was selling it did have a very large collection of everything before, like, the Wii. Like, he had a lot of original Xbox. He had a lot of Xbox 360. Oh, that's kind of during Wii time.
Yep.
But you get what I mean. Like, he had a pretty decent collection of a lot of different systems.
That wasn't the booth that had the Panasonic GameCube.
No. This was right when you walk in the door, right when you walk in the entrance.
The very first guy.
The picture lady / the video game guy. They were a team. They worked in the same booth area.
Okay.
So, that was a cool table, though.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot.
She and he, there were two people there working it. They had the Panasonic GameCube with the controller, which I thought was pretty cool. The actual licensed or written on Panasonic controller. Yep. They had the Halo edition of the original Xbox with three controllers that go with that system, the see-through green.
Yep.
They had everything was really overpriced, though. They had every console you could think of, I think, back.
I wouldn't really say everything was overpriced, because we found that GameCube with the Game Boy player and disc.
Oh, for $140.
For $140, which was, in my opinion, after the fact, thinking about it, that's a really reasonable.
You take the console out, which is about $40, $40 to $50.
Depending upon which color.
I got mine for $30, yep. $35 at the flea market, right? But you're right. So $40 to $50 for that, and then $90 for the GameCube thing, and it came with a disc. And the disc, you said, sells on eBay for like $50.
I found them between $50 and $90 for the disc.
There you go. And then Game Boy adapter, another $50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$45 to $50 on the high side. Yeah.
And you were able to almost get some guy down to like $30.
I talked the guy down to $30. Yeah. And I regret not buying it just for the sake of buying it, because it was a deal.
Which makes me think, do you think it was broken? So he dropped it. I remember I was watching you do it.
He was desperate. He was desperate to sell it.
Yeah.
And
you know why? He probably, because he didn't have the disc and he knew he was kind of dead in the water, kind of.
Well, I called it right off from the bat. Well, it's useless without the disc.
Right. And then he plummeted down to 30 or 35.
Well, I said 30 right off the bat, and he countered with 35, and then I started to walk away, and he said, all right, 30.
Yeah. I honestly probably should have grabbed just to slap it on, but I didn't.
Yep.
I found a guy with at first I thought it was a C3PO controller, Xbox 360 limited edition C3PO. It came with the R2-D2 console.
Yep.
It wasn't, though. It was just a gold plated controller, which I'm glad I didn't buy, because I didn't actually look at it close enough.
Was he marketing it as a C3PO?
No. And he was selling it for $10 or $15. So when he said that price, it kind of clicked in my mind. I'm like, and I went back to you guys. I'm like, the gold plated one's only about $50, and you guys are like, buy it. Why didn't you buy it? Because I told you guys it was a C3PO controller. I went back a few more times, and the reason why I knew it wasn't is because they have like the wires that hang between like his torso area. It wasn't on the controller, so I'm like, it's just the gold plated controller. I'm like, never mind, I'm good. So I'm glad I didn't buy that, just out of.
How about the Mountain Dew Edition Xbox?
Oh, that's right. You remember, like, what's that guy was selling for?
$500.
They gave me that spiel. Like, don't give me the spiel, okay? I understand, but...
We know what the stuff's worth.
Right. You're not going to sell me by a story, okay?
You know, unless, you get excited with the hype of a box, then yes, like me.
I kind of only brought it to put it on display, because I like carrying a brick in my bag.
That's what he said?
Yeah. I just put it on display, but, I could let it go for, like, I don't know, like $500. Like, just tell me it's $500. I'm not going to buy it anyway.
I brought it here just to put it on display.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Put it on display. However, it was in mint condition. I'm not sure if wires came with it or anything like that.
It was pristine.
There's no scuffs on it whatsoever. It had the nice emblem in the middle saying Mountain Dew limited edition run or whatever in gold.
It was really nice.
It was really nice. Was that a contest? Did Mountain Dew do like a mail-in contest for that or something?
I'm not sure.
Was it a
I'm not sure what the backstory on that console either. Is.
But it was cool. If you were a collector of Xboxes.
It was legit.
It was cool.
It didn't look like the the gold. Remember the gold N64s that were Toys R Us exclusives?
No.
I found one on Facebook Marketplace.
Remember the Pokemon one with the big Pikachu pop up? Yeah.
So I found this post on Facebook Marketplace. This guy was selling, he said it was a legit gold Nintendo 64. You could see the spray paint. I reported it.
Hey, you know what? You got to do what you got to do. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and it wound up getting reposted under three different names, and I reported every one.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I don't think I remember any other cool. They had backlit Game Boys that I believe were way overpriced.
But you know what? They're really not.
Not the Game Boy SPs, but I'm talking about the Game Boy Advance, the original Game Boy.
But they're not, because I have looked into doing that mod.
Like the kit? Yeah.
I've looked into doing that mod, and it is a lot of work.
Yeah, but I'm not going to spend $180.
And you take a huge chance of breaking your Game Boy doing it.
Then even more so, I don't want to spend $180 on something that might brick after using it for a little bit.
Nope.
While you're modding it?
While you're modding it.
Oh, okay. So they did all the hard work for you. I get it.
Most of the the mod kits are $50.
Hmm.
So once you figure in the kit and then the time to do it.
Yep.
I mean, I understand. There's a lot of labor of love in that and to doing that. You know?
Yeah, and they did I think the stall that had them was right at the end. I think they had about 7, maybe 10 of them. But they probably carried around from con to con until they sell one off or whatever. But there were some people trying to sell the Game Boy Advance SPs. I was kind of looking at those. You did find one black that was in good condition. That was $40, which that's a reasonable price.
It was a really good price.
Yep. But there are also other people trying to sell the same thing for $120.
I don't know if it was a backlit one.
Yeah. A lot of them, when you flip it over, a lot of them didn't have the serial on them anymore, like that Nintendo plate. I'm like,
that's... Yeah,
I know. I get it. It's a used system. It's been through the ringer, but I'm not going to just chance it and whatever. So, yeah. So that was our experience at Retro Worlds. Move on to the next topic. Well, that was a long topic for a Geekly Rewind topic.
I know, right?
We'll go into the next one, Sega Mini. Now, guys, I want to apologize again. I know last episode we said that there was going to be an unboxing of the Sega Mini. However, fail on me.
He miffed the video.
The audio was good. I didn't hit... Oh, that's not true. I hit record, but I hit the volume button, and we use Filmic Pro, and the volume button, when activated or when hit, it will either stop the recording or go to the recording. So in the manipulation of everything...
He stopped recording.
I stopped recording, but we got the audio. Maybe I'll release that as a bonus episode one day. I was just talking about it.
Yep.
But today, what we're going to talk about is Andy's experience with the Sega Mini and kind of what you... Yeah.
It's pretty solid. I'm really impressed with it.
Yeah.
The controller feels just like an original.
Mm-hmm.
No lag. The button response is just like an original Sega Genesis controller. The menu for the interface of the system is pretty nice, really easy to use.
Nice.
One feature that I really did like was you don't need to get up and reset the console to change the games.
Ooh.
You hold the start button for 3 seconds and it'll pull up a menu, what you want to do, either save your game.
Yep.
I'll go to the menu screen to change a game, which...
Perfect.
I mean, obviously, they listen to everybody complain with the NES Classic,
because
that was a big complaint about that.
I gotta get up and reset. God, this is trash.
just to change the game that you know what? Play.
They were trying to give you a real experience in how it was back in the day.
It really was like that back in the day. But
you're lucky you didn't have to blow into the NES Classic.
Yeah. But I mean, regardless, all in all,
yeah,
I think it's worth the money that they're getting for it.
And I think I agree with you as somebody, and this is how okay, so this is the type of customer I think that these things are really going for. People who haven't had the opportunity to experience it and don't want to put all the media on their shelf of all the games or hunt down all those games. I think that they put a solid collection together. We read the box off last time again, guys, sorry. But maybe I'll, I don't know, maybe 40, we'll put the audio 40, through, but
42 40, games.
Yeah.
That's, 42.
That's a lot of games to play through.
Yeah. And a lot of their classics too.
Yeah. So for me, as someone who's never owned one of those and had an opportunity to play those as a kid, this system is kind of calling to me. I might wait to see if there's a price drop, but there might not be a price drop. A lot of people didn't have the Sega systems. Maybe not a lot of people, but for the Nintendo fanboys or the people who had Nintendo systems, generally you didn't have a Sega console.
Because you couldn't afford that.
Couldn't afford it. Yeah, your parents couldn't afford that crap. So you either had a Sega or you had a Nintendo. And I feel like a lot more people had a Nintendo than the Sega.
Yeah.
So I think the Sega Classic, I think it's going to speak to a lot more people than even the, it probably won't sell as good as the NES Classic.
I don't know. They might give it a run for its money.
I'm sure it will. It's just, I'm not sure if they'll get to that. Because, man, that thing sold out so quick, but then again, Nintendo kind of.
I definitely think the quality's there. The gameplay doesn't feel cheesy. Good. It doesn't feel like it's half-assed.
Like it doesn't feel like an emulator. It feels like the actual game.
Feels like the actual game. Good. Which is pretty solid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not perfect.
Yep.
I did notice that the music doesn't sound as crisp as you probably would like, but yep. I mean, all in all, not bad for what you get.
For how the much was it again?
$79.99.
Oh, that's a really good for 42
games. And you know, I mean, it did come. One of the games was a Mega Man game. You know, the Wily perfect. Wars.
Yeah.
You know, that's just Mega Man 1, 2, and 3. That's all that
is. That's all it is?
That's all it is.
Okay, fair enough.
I was a little disappointed. I was like, I almost bought this game for Sega. Now I'm glad I didn't. Because I'll tell you, the music sounds different than the NES versions.
Really?
It does. It sounds a little, it's the same music, but it sounds
something's
different.
Well, there you go. I look forward to, hopefully there's a price drop. My cheap self says don't buy it for that. It's a good price, but don't buy it for that. Wait for the holidays. I bet there'll be a Black Friday sale and I'll scoop it up then.
It might. Yeah. I mean,
the other thing about Sega consoles is I never liked their controllers.
The controllers are,
it always feels like a wedge and the buttons are all three in the line this way.
Yeah. I mean, the six button controllers are all right.
Mm-hmm. Aren't those just three and three?
Three and three.
Yeah. I don't know. And they're really big. They're almost like a quarter size. Maybe not a nickel.
It's really
but,
not. It's not bad. It's not a horrible controller. I mean, I've got my eye on the TurboGrafx Mini.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've been seeing the Commodore Minis have come down in price significantly.
Okay.
I might score
just
one
scoop
of those.
It up.
Might scoop it up. Yeah. I think I last time I looked at the Commodore Mini, they were selling for like $40.
Hmm.
And those were like priced at $100 or so, oof. I think, back in the day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then it's definitely time to scoop it up if you want
they're
to.
They're a nice alternative. They
compact,
plug and play.
Yeah, a whole bunch of games all set in one little thing. Some of them can be jailbroken and you can add more games to it, which
I've done it.
Yeah. I shouldn't speak. I like emulators, but.
But it's not a legit course to take.
Yeah.
You know, for what it is, you're definitely going to want to invest in a wireless controller.
Sure.
With any of these minis.
You're so used to it
nowadays.
Cable,
it's not even being with short cables. You think about it, you know, my TV's hung on the wall.
Yeah.
So just to test out my Sega Mini, I had to take my computer chair and sit in front of my TV, you know, 5 feet away from the TV because the cord's not long enough to make it to my couch.
Yeah.
So you're definitely going to want a wireless controller. All right.
Good tip. And as you play through some of the games, maybe we'll go over some of them. Just for shats and gaggles. All right. So with that, we'll get into news and notes.
Sure.
All right.
News and notes from Everything Geek.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom. All right, guys. So on this first topic for news and notes, we might be starting a new kind of segment, maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to feel it out. But basically, it's going to be held here for right now. What we're going to talk about is some kind of unique gaming accessories. Now, it doesn't mean that they have to be hard to find or anything like that. It doesn't mean that necessarily need to be like earth shattering, but we want to share some of the things that we think are cool and some of the cool finds that mostly Andy's going to find, because I'm not a collector of these things, but I do appreciate them because they are super cool.
It's not so much that I'm collecting it. I read up on these. I thought it was kind of a cool concept that there's a company out there that's still making third-party stuff for a console that's 20 years old.
Yep.
That was more what I found really interesting, the fact that they think that there's a market for this.
Yeah.
And I think they're right.
I think you're definitely right.
This controller feels amazing in my hand.
When we took it out of the box and I held it, I was like, this just feels right. This feels like a good controller. Like, this would be a good controller now.
It's very lightweight.
Yeah. Let's introduce it. So this is the Brawler N64 controller.
Yep.
And it is made by Retro Fighters, right? Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I just want to make sure we mention what it is before we get too excited.
Very good point. So I've had my eye on these controllers for a while.
Yeah.
I was actually, when we were at the con, I was trying to find one at the con, and
no
I was
vendors,
really surprised that nobody had any.
Yeah.
I caved. I bought one off of Amazon.
Yeah. They look really cool. I'm just like staring at them.
There's multiple colors. Yeah. I almost bought they had like a black one. It was like semi-transparent with the black grips.
Up there. But yeah, these are the transparent line right here.
So I almost bought one of those.
I like the one you picked up.
I'm happy with my purchase.
That's a sharp. It's the N64 gray. I think it's darker.
It's a little bit darker.
No, it's lighter. So that's a gray N64 right there on the shelf. So it's the same gray as the input, I think. Maybe a little bit darker than that. It's a Switch. Yeah, it's a Switch gray. I like it. It's sharp. The buttons pop off of it.
Very comfortable.
Super comfortable. The joystick changed. Thank goodness they updated the joystick. The old joystick, we have one here. I'm not sure if it's in frame, but it has the ridges on the thumbstick.
Yep.
That is smooth like a PlayStation.
It's like a GameCube. A little bit, I think.
No, I don't think GameCube had the dome, did it? That's a third party one anyway, so.
Yeah.
But I think that had ridges like the N64 one. That one feels like a PS1. Or a PlayStation, not PS1, but PlayStation. The round, domey, rubbery, nice, smooth.
It's pretty solid for the money that I spent. Yep. I mean, I know I probably could have went right to their website and paid a little bit less for it.
I saw on their website they said 30, but I'm not sure if that's just for the transparent line. I didn't actually see the solid line.
Okay.
So that might be a limited run one or something, because or maybe the first run and they went to this one.
Yep.
I believe this started on Kickstarter first.
Okay.
Before they kind of went full retail, I think mostly on their site, Amazon, sleep, stuff like that.
So I haven't plugged it in and tried it yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how well it performs. The reviews on Amazon, it got excellent reviews. It got close to five stars.
Yeah,
in reviews.
Nice.
So I'm excited to give it a try. And
yeah. So the other thing that I like about it too is the Z button is on
triggers.
Both triggers. So as opposed to this one with the Trident controller, but the Z is only on the bottom of the joystick.
I mean, back in the day when we used these, mm-hmm. I really didn't think it was a weird design.
Nope, it was fine.
But going back to it,
it's weird as hell.
It's a weird design.
Well, not to mention, okay, so you have C buttons that are generally not even used. I think Super Mario World.
Yep. Zelda used them too.
Yeah, for camera angles in the Mario one, or Mario 64, I'm sorry. Zelda used them too?
Yeah, I think so.
I know, I didn't play Ocarina at the time.
Shame on you.
I know. I never owned N64 until I married my wife. So,
because let me tell you.
I went to PS1 around that time.
I remember hunting for that game when it came out.
Really?
Yes. Calling GameStop. Well, back then it was EB back then.
Yeah.
Calling every store in the area. How many copies? You got the extra copies? And I think I wound up driving out to North Attleboro to pick it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I watched my uncle at the time, through marriage, my uncle at the time play Ocarina of Time. I remember watching Link riding a horse, and I was blown away. I'm like, what is this game? Mm-hmm. I need to play it now.
It's crazy.
It was insane. To me, I think he let me like ride the horse around a little bit, but he didn't really want me to mess around with this game too much. So, but to me, it felt like an open world game.
It was to an extent.
To an extent, yeah. But it felt like I think it might have been the first sandboxy type game I've ever played, and my memory might be leaving me, but I just remember I felt like the whole thing was open. I'm like, I can go anywhere here. Blah, blah, blah.
But back then, when it came out, it was
right
like that.
Right.
You know, same thing. Like my first memory of playing Super Mario 64.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Whoa, look at that! Look.
Yep.
He just did a backflip.
Yep.
You know, just,
I can rotate all the way around if I wanted to. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just crazy that the control mechanics, it bumped it up a level. You know.
Yep. So, so on Retro Fighter's site, this is kind of the description they give. I just want to read it really quick. Next generation N64 controller with an ergonomic and comfortable two-handle design, featuring custom-made clear matching plugs and high-quality clear plastic. That's regarding these new ones up here. Comfortable and responsive next-gen analog stick, dual repositioned Z triggers on both left and right side of the controller, ultra-fast turbo function, turn it on when you need it, turn off when you don't. Compatible with both rumble and memory packs. Extra long 10-foot cable. And then it said that the clear ones released January 2019. I don't know if that one came out, if it was before that or not.
I don't know.
It probably won't stay in the box. The colors, red, blue, green, purple, orange, and smoke. Smoke must be the clear one that you saw. And weight. That's the other thing that I wanted to mention. When we put the original and that one together, that one did feel slightly less weighted.
It's a little bit lighter,
but it doesn't feel cheap.
No,
you know what I mean?
I
like, you know, when you feel something that's like when you hold something that feels light and you're like, oh, it's gonna break, it's cheap. That doesn't feel, that feels like it's like some high ballistic plastic going on there. That's really nice. And then they say that the weight is only 7 ounces, which is nothing.
Yeah. But
it felt good. The buttons felt responsive. The C buttons, the first thing I thought of when I looked
at it, they're
a little
bit larger.
A little bit larger, right?
A little bit. I'm okay with that, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it felt good. The D-pad felt good, too. Like, you could roll it. That felt pretty good, too. So, yeah. Anything else that you want to add?
No, I mean, I'm pretty happy with it. I can't wait to use it.
Yeah.
So...
it's a sharp looking controller.
You know, most people in their reviews on Amazon mostly complain that it's really not so much good for first person shooters.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know anybody playing first person shooters on the N64. GoldenEye, yes. Time and place, guys. It wasn't fun to go back and have to learn the controls to how to do that.
Well,
there was no aim down sights.
I'm going to try it.
There was aim down sights in GoldenEye, but it was clunky and weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So we'll move on to the next topic, which is we're going to take this in two frames of mind here.
Yep.
So video game exclusivity. Now, first one we're going to touch base on is the gaming community itself. People, are they being exclusive to themselves? Are they being hateful or tolerant? towards other people, whether it's platform based, whether it's just we are gamers, you are not, maybe you play mobile, we do not, type of stuff like that. And then also the state of game developers and exclusivity. Is it still viable? Do people still seek that out? Do people feel proud that they own a PS4 and they're the only ones who can play God of War? Or is it tarnishing, or is it setting competitive goals? Like
I think it sets competitive goals.
I agree.
It's
a reason to buy a
competitors.
Yes. Yep.
So look, I'm not going to lie. I own all three consoles. I have all three of these consoles.
And if you're not watching YouTube, it's on screen right now. It's the Switch, it's the PlayStation 4, and then Xbox controller.
So, I mean, I have all three. Yep. You know, they achieved what they wanted. I have all three.
Yep.
Now, do I think that games should play on one console and one mm-hmm. console only? No.
Yeah.
Because they're all in the business to make money, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like saying there should only be one make a car, you know?
Right, exactly. And that one make a car should, or even if there's multiple makes, there shouldn't be one specific model to each line or something like that.
Let's look at it this way. If you wanted to play a game in one setting,
mm-hmm.
then you'd have a PC.
Exactly. Yep.
So, no, I don't think it takes away from the industry. I think it makes them strive to
produce better material.
Yeah. Because let's face it, if they're not producing better material and just kind of keeping the industry,
we'd all have interesting. Maddens. We'd all have just reruns of Call of Duties. We'd have all these franchises that do cross platform and don't have to compete with anybody else.
I think it's good too.
I think overall exclusivity is good. Now, here's one part of exclusivity that I don't agree with. When a game is multiple platform.
What, time release?
Time releases.
Yeah.
Exclusivity with items and things like Destiny.
Now, that kind of stuff.
I don't agree with that stuff.
That irritates me when it's a game that comes out that mm-hmm. they don't say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a timed exclusive,
sure.
and then it winds up coming out on the console.
Yep. So PlayStation has, for whatever reason, all these things with Destiny, and they get everything first. Destiny 1, the Jade Rabbit gun, I remember very vividly. That was not even, like you just said, it wasn't named a time release. It was just a PS4 exclusive.
Yep.
So, okay, I'll never get that, ever. And I moved on. And then year 3 or year 2, they're like, oh, wait. You guys will get the Jade Rabbit now, and it's like I've already moved on to Destiny 2. It means nothing to me now.
Yep.
But I never got to experience that. It was like,
well, not just that. I mean, PlayStation got first dibs on
yep.
everything.
Yep. That, and they mostly do.
I think part of that could have been there was some sour grapes between them and Microsoft.
Maybe. Yeah. But Microsoft has come full round. And helped out Bungie a lot.
Well, yeah.
So, that's where I stand. But it's like, I don't mind there being exclusive. I don't mind God of War's on PlayStation. I don't mind that Spider-Man's on PlayStation. I don't mind it. It makes...
Spider-Man is really good.
I've heard. And at some point I may try it, but...
I feel guilty for not playing it more, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually looking at it
a
couple days ago saying, oh, man, you know. I really gotta play this
game.
Get
back
more.
Into that, yeah. Well, that's what I was like with Breath of the Wild. Think of all the exclusive games on Nintendo, like all their first party games.
Well, they're all good. I mean,
they're all really good.
Playing Link's Awakening right now. That's mm-hmm. really the game I've been focusing on lately.
Yep.
It's really good. Yep. You know, I never played through the originals. Mm-hmm. I have them.
Yeah.
I just, again, it's time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we both agree with the game development side, saying exclusivity is good for business.
Oh, yeah.
It's good for the consumer. It makes them compete against each other for your dollar. I mean, you own all three, but it's still, the games are still $60. Which one are you going to buy it on? Blah, 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 you know. From the community standpoint, I know we, or you know, our group, we only really play online multiplayers and we play in party chat and stuff like that. So we don't really hear the spiels anymore.
Well, I mean, we're too old for that shit.
Yeah, I know, too. You know? We are too old for that stuff. But
I can't be trash talking to 13-year-old. You know, I'm too old to be doing that.
Yeah, and that's why we keep it. But I think with all the next gen or the current gen consoles where they have party chat now, it's putting everybody in their own little safe little bubble where they don't have to tolerate 13-year-olds spewing off slurs and things like that. So in a sense, I think I would like to say it's probably become a more tolerable space because you're always with your friends. You're not with listening to randoms and stuff like that. There are still games out there that will do like proximity voices and stuff like that where you can
hear the echo effect.
Yeah.
Somebody complaining. Yeah.
Oh, you cheat.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, go away. Go back and do your homework, kid. So the community, I would like to think, is more inclusive than it is exclusive. But of course, there's always console wars. There's always console
fanboys.
Exactly. So I would hope. Now, that's another part of the game development side where we are getting to a time and place where cross-platform is a thing, and I fully embrace it. You know, Dauntless.
Yeah, I mean,
Fortnite.
It's fine.
It's fine. You know,
I mean, look at how long. I mean, 2007. Yep. What was my console of choice back then?
Xbox. What was it?
It was hardcore PlayStation 2.
Oh, okay.
You guys are the ones that.
Yeah, we jumped you over to Halo 2.
Got me the jump.
Yeah, that's right.
Jump over from PlayStation to Xbox.
Yeah. See, I never took a line in the sand. I only played what I got for Christmas or got for my birthday. Like, I only played what was given to me.
PlayStation 2. It was an amazing console.
Well, it had a library on that.
Gigantic library. But the graphics that they got out of that system for the time was amazing.
The fact that they had PC games that could play on the PlayStation 2 tells you what kind of level it was at the time. I'm talking about Final Fantasy 11.
Yeah.
But at that time and place, not that it was a really spec heavy game, but still, you had a game that you could cross platform at that time, PlayStation, and that, and then even the Xbox 360 was still playing like those type of games at the beginning. So,
but you know, I mean, you guys got me to make the jump to the 360, to play Halo 3.
Yep.
And what really cemented that for me was playing
Xbox Live.
Well, the open beta.
Oh, right. Yes.
Was that with
Crackdown?
Yeah.
That was with Crackdown. That's right. Yeah.
That was the Crackdown beta. You guys all bought Crackdown to get the beta.
Yep.
And I remember playing till 4 in the morning.
Well, the thing about that is that it was delayed. It was supposed to come out at midnight, and it got pushed back to like 4 in the morning. Because me and Mike, were you at the apartment?
I wasn't.
No.
We
were online then?
I went the next day. To your house.
Okay.
And I'm like, what do you mean it's not?
Yeah.
It wasn't up.
Yep. So, oh God, that was a good time. I actually got sick that night because I had bacon and I have an allergy and whatever. Or I had it. I don't know if it was an allergy. Maybe it was just bad meat.
It probably was just bad bacon.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was good times. But yeah, so I like to think that the community is a little bit more open out, or at least a little bit more tolerable, because you can go into your own little space and be fine, and that's that. So that's where we stand on that. We will get into the last topic, guys, and that one is going to be girls in gaming and the inclusivity that is there with it. So if you are watching the video on YouTube, you can see a little chart up there now. We're going to go over a few of them just really briefly. We're not going to get too deep into this because, again, we're not experts on this.
Nope.
But a Google study was done, and they found that 52% of gamers are actually girls, right? That might be shocking to some people out there, because you always think about your crew, like your guys are gamers and blah, 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 blah.
I don't really think it's shocking. I mean, I know plenty of girls that that play.
Me
you
too,
know.
Including my own family members. So, but they took into consideration mobile gaming. And that is where
that
biggest
portion,
chunk.
I don't agree with that portion.
A game is a game is a game to me.
I know, but I familiarize gaming with having a controller or a mouse click,
Yep.
That's just I guess you really can't not include it, I guess.
To include it because it is a video game. I understand the traditional thought is keyboard and mouse or controller and console, right? So I understand that, but we're in a time and place where phones can keep up with consoles. There's a Call of Duty port coming out of the new game on the phone, so it's mobile Call of Duty. So,
I don't even understand how that would really work with a game like that on a phone.
A Bluetooth controller, I guess. So all you need is a screen, and you have a Bluetooth controller.
I guess.
I mean, everything's streaming from the cloud.
You can play Forza on your phone now.
Yeah, you know, so... you can play Mario Kart, Dark to Mario, like all these games. So, the gap is, I think, kind of, you know what I mean? So I'm just going to go over a few of these because I think what's shocking is I don't know because I'm not an expert. Maybe let us know at Twitter, at Gentleman or on Twitter, Gentleman_Geek. Let us know, any female listeners out there, how you feel yourselves and see if these kind of things are accurate. But Google did a study between women of the age of 18 to 35. It looks like their sample size was 1,000. So they said percentage of women playing games several times a day or week who identify as a gamer, only 26% of them felt, a quarter of them felt they could identify as a gamer. And that's, I mean, we game less than that. Several times a day, a few times a week we do it, and we consider ourselves gamers.
Yeah, but are they talking, you know, what kind of time period are they talking?
I don't know for the extent of time. It's just several times per day or several times per week.
I mean, let's face it, if we didn't work full time, we'd play several times a day.
But that's what I'm saying. We don't, but we still consider ourselves gamers, right? This is women saying that they don't feel like, or they don't identify as a gamer.
If you're playing at least once a day for over an hour a day,
yeah,
you're a gamer.
Right. But women don't see themselves, I should say, a quarter of them do not identify as a gamer. It's just, it's just kind of weird to me. That's all.
Yeah, no, it's definitely weird.
You would
to
probably
me.
Flip that and say 100% of guys would feel like they would identify as a gamer if they played an hour a year. Do you know what I mean? Like they just picked up a controller once. So that was just that one. The next one is top motivations for playing a game among females. So their number one was relaxing and unwinding, then relieving boredom, then making progress in the game, testing skills and knowledge, and connecting with others.
Flip it.
It's almost like flip for guys, right? So connecting with others, that's our social space.
It's competitive.
So it's testing your skills and knowledge, right? Making progress in the game, sure. I guess that could count for first-person shooters now because they're pretty much like RPGs. You level up your character to get new equipment.
Yeah, level up
stuff
your characters
like that.
And your guns.
Relieving boredom and relaxing and unwinding. It's just kind of on its head. So that's just kind of interesting. The next one was, this one's kind of importance of different character and avatar customization. I didn't really see it. It's just kind of like a 50-50 toss up between all that. So I'm going to go over that one. And then the last one, which I believe is the one up on the screen here, is percentage of women playing games several times a day or week who feel they belong in the gaming community. So it kind of goes in some of that with our last topic. 17%, only 17% who play several times per day or week feel they belong in the gaming community. So this tells me that there's a problem, that only 17% of women feel that they belong in the gaming community.
Yeah, but all right, so this is a Google survey.
Yep.
The question is, what kind of games are they talking about?
True. But if they're
talking mobile?
True.
Are they talking... Yep. Yeah. Console? Are they talking PC? Are they talking everything in general?
It's how I'm taking this is everything in general. But there's a problem here. Only 17% of the women who took that were in the sample size feel they belong in the gaming community. That's a big red flag. Women should feel just as comfortable as men to be thinking that they're in the gaming. Think about when we went to the RetroCon. How many women were there?
But there were some.
Oh, of course. Yes, there were.
But not as many as you. Did you think
with the study of saying 52% of gamers are women?
In all honesty, I mean, when you take a survey, do you take it 100% honestly?
If it's a direct thing like this, I probably would. If it's at work, like work survey, no, probably not going to answer 100% because there's consequences, probably.
I'll tell you right now. I mean, surveys.
Yeah.
Surveys feel like a waste of time to me.
Sure. And it certainly could be.
It's all part of a big marketing ploy.
Right. But there had to have been some kind of, so this is 1,000 people who do game.
Yep.
Right? So we know that. So if they did take it seriously, or even halfway seriously, and only 17%.
Because I don't mind taking surveys.
Yeah.
But if it's over, if it takes up over 5 minutes of my time.
Right. This seems like it was five questions.
I find it to be very tedious and very, like, all right, I've had enough, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It seems to only have been five questions, so I doubt people were really kind of miffed by the length of it. However, so let's look at this, right? So 17%, that to me is just, so 52% of gamers are women. Only 17% feel that they are welcomed in the gaming community or belong to a gaming community. So let's let's kind of take that and apply it to, like, our daughters, right? What are we doing? Not that we have to do anything. It's a hobby. If they don't like it, they don't like it. However, my daughter really enjoys playing video games with me, which I love.
Both my kids enjoy playing.
And my son, when he gets a little bit older, will most likely too.
He's not old enough yet.
No.
But, you know, they enjoy playing. And, you know, they're still, I mean, my daughter has gotten the idea of the mechanics down.
Sure.
She gets it.
Yep.
My son still... He still struggles a little bit, but he's on the cusp of getting
Yeah. So, like, my daughter right now plays on a tablet, plays mobile-esque games right now, right? Very simple point click, blah, 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 blah. However, I've been playing more Switch with her, Mario Kart, you know, Mario Odyssey. I'm trying to get into more platformy type games just to see if she's enjoying it. If she does, I just don't want my daughter to ever feel like she doesn't belong to a gaming community. If she wants to be a part of the gaming community.
Well, I mean, it's no different than saying that she can't play baseball or football.
Very true. They're all hobbies. They're all sports, hobbies. They're activities, they're hobbies. I want her to feel confident enough to say, yeah, I play video games. I belong here. I just want her to get to that point where she can do that if she chooses to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to force it on her.
Well, yeah.
But this just kind of shocked me a little bit. It kind of was like, wow, I need to do more for her to make sure that she's comfortable in those type of situations, right?
Yeah,
she needs to come with me to...
But that's something that she's going to have to figure out for herself.
Oh, of course.
There's really not much that we can...
No, but we can introduce her into it and make it normalized for her.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in this day and age, geeky culture is the norm, right?
Yeah, it is.
When we were kids, in our own little cliques,
we were outcasts when we were kids.
Yeah, but in our own little cliques, we felt comfortable. Outside of that, we didn't really...
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't do that back then. But now it's a lot more normalized because of mobile gaming, mostly because everyone games on their phone or does little tiny things, blah, 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 blah.
Well, so, I wouldn't say everybody. Most people do.
Sorry, yes. People who don't have consoles do, probably.
Yeah.
You know, because we have the outlet of the consoles.
I've got so much stuff I don't need to do on my phone.
I know. Your phone should be an escape for just internet browsing, and that is your gaming console. I get it. But I just want to make sure that my daughter knows that it is perfectly normal for a female to play a video game and not have to be ostracized because of it or made into an object where...
Thing is, no matter what hobby you have, there's going to be a group of people that are going to ostracize you to some extent.
Of course. But you got to get them, ready for that, and you got to make sure that they know that what they're doing is normal and not abnormal. And that's all I'm trying to get across.
Oh, yeah.
So... guys, let us know your feelings on this topic. It can get pretty hot topic, but I think we covered the best we could from our points of view.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's sad that people feel this way, but
it is.
I really don't think that's the case. I mean,
it's a small sample. It's 1,000 people out of an entire country. So, I mean, it's like whoever took it, hopefully were the most honest that they could be, but... Yeah, that's what it is. This is what the numbers say. That's all. It's just kind of like, whoa, okay. And I think games nowadays are going more towards driven to female protagonists. The Last of Us, right? That one's a female character.
Yeah, Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
The new one, yeah. I'm not talking about the old one. I'm talking the new.
Yes, I got you.
And think about it. You know, even back in the day in arcades, certain games, Centipede.
Mm-hmm.
Centipede, yep. I pretty sure was designed by a female.
Oh, cool.
And I mean, if you look at the color schemes,
yeah,
it's very
I got you.
You know, the neon purple and pink, and
it's eye catching.
A lot of girls were attracted to that cabinet because of the color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you really saw the beginning of video games and arcades not just being
a dude
hangout or right. boys hangout.
Yeah.
Because back then,
yeah. Well, they just came out with I forgot. I think it was an SN or NES game. Riverside.
Oh yeah,
it came out on the Switch.
I know the game you're talking
they
about.
They flipped it. Instead of the guys saving the girlfriends, it's the other girlfriends saving the boyfriends, and that's brilliant. Girls can be heroes too, and it's just all about being inclusive and not immediately judging a female just because she's gaming as, well, you're only doing this for attention.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's because they're a true gamer and they know how to play the game and they're good at it.
But there's also been other games like Gianna Sisters.
Mm.
Which is like a direct ripoff of Super Mario Brothers.
Oh.
Why it's never been called out for, but it is very
well. Maybe maybe the princesses of Mario will get their own game.
Well, they have.
Which one?
Peach had one on. I want to say it was on the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, I didn't know. That's cool. Sweet.
She's already had her own standalone game.
All right, cool. Well, maybe there'll be a redo with all the princesses that have come out. Was there a
Daisy?
Yeah, and it's a
Rosalina.
Rosalina, thank you. Yes. So, anyway, guys, that's going to do it for our show this week, right? You got anything else you want to add?
No, I think we've pretty much
beaten
the horse dead.
So get at us, guys, on Twitter at gentleman_geek. At our WordPress, or our website, I should say, gentlemangeek.com, and search us on YouTube, and subscribe, and like, and do it, because I see you watching, you need to hit those buttons. So just do it.
People like me, because I force them with violence.
With violence. Alright guys, later.
Peace out.
This has been a Gentleman Geek production. Follow us on Twitter at gentleman_geek. Or visit our WordPress website at www.gentlemangeekpodcast.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.